Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by Quip. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at just $25. Go to getquip.com/accidentalcreative and you'll get your first refill free. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, The Accidental Creative, Die Empty, Louder Than Words, and the new book, Herding Tigers. One question that I get from creative pros very often, and by the way, it doesn't matter if they're early in their career or later in their career, is how do I know the work that I'm wired for? How do I know what I am made to do? How can I find my sweet spot of effectiveness? And this is a great question. The reality is finding your sweet spot takes time. It's not something that you just think about, consider, and then, you know, sort of immediately jump into. It's something you have to discover over time. There's not really a shortcut, but today I want to talk about what it looks like to navigate to your sweet spot of effectiveness. How can you analyze, look at the patterns in your life to help you figure out the place where you're likely to contribute the most value in your life and in your work? Where are those sweet spot moments for you? That's what we're going to jump into today. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Quip. Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, want you to know the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It's simply this, that if you have good habits, you're good. That means brushing for 2 minutes, twice a day, and flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide a full and even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. You ever do that where you have floss and you wind out way too much and you feel like you're just kind of throwing away? Well, Quip makes that simple. They tell you exactly how much to use. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush head, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so your routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/accidentalcreative right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/accidentalcreative. That's getquip, it's getquip.com/accidentalcreative, and you'll get your first refill free. Quip is the Good Habits Company, and we thank them for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, if you've ever played golf, tennis, baseball, you've probably heard the phrase sweet spot. If you hit a ball with the sweet spot of your club or your racket or your bat, it's going to travel far greater distances than if you strike it even marginally off the mark. Hitting squarely on the sweet spot provides you with the maximum return for your effort. Having worked with and interviewed hundreds of creative professionals, I've come to believe that each person also has a sweet spot. It's comprised of the situations and the activities where they're maximally effective and where they create the most unique value for their effort. Now, it's not necessarily a specific job or task. That's where we get it wrong. We tend to think there's some perfect job out there. The reality is no job is going to be perfect for you, right? But your sweet spot is a mode that you go into that separates you from the pack. It's the way that you approach your work and the kinds of inner wiring that you have that allow you to approach your work uniquely, more so than it is a specific set of tasks that you do every day. Your sweet spot is a unique kind of value that you become known for and that others seek out. However, in the flurry of busyness, you know, life is crazy, work is crazy. Many people never stop to consider the patterns that are present in those moments when they've delivered extraordinary results. You know, you may be a great student of the marketplace, you may be a great student of your customer, but many people are terrible students of themselves. They don't stop, they don't pay attention, they don't look for the patterns in their own life. And as a result, many people never navigate to their sweet spot. So a couple of years ago, I wrote a book called Louder Than Words. It's actually the book that I'm I would probably say I'm most proud of in terms of the ideas, the content that was delivered in that book. I really loved the book Louder Than Words. And in that book, I shared the stories of several people who had navigated to a place of effectiveness over the course of their career and some of the lessons they'd learned along the way. So I want to give you a few key insights about how to find your sweet spot. Now, again, I'm going to be really clear. This is not about finding the perfect job. And especially if you're newer in your career, I just want to both encourage you and also issue this kind of cautionary warning that there is no perfect job. And if you spend your life leaping from job to job, looking for something that makes you happy, you're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to be happy because every job eventually becomes a bit redundant and every job includes tasks that you're not going to want to do. Okay, so if you're just looking for your job to provide that spark of stimulus, it's not going to happen. It's about what you bring to your job. And it's about how you allow your job to shape and inform you. Okay, so you want to grow, and the best way to grow is to put yourself in challenging circumstances, sometimes circumstances you don't like, and those circumstances then force you to have to discover things about yourself, capabilities you have that you didn't know that you had, you know, force you to develop the capacity to deal with circumstances that you strongly dislike. So today we're going to talk about this sweet spot thing, but I want you to recognize that identifying your sweet spot is not something where you sit around and navel gaze and you think inwardly about what would I like to do. It's about looking outward, paying attention to the patterns, and then shaping your behavior according to what you notice about where you seem to be effective. All right, so the first principle is this: to find your sweet spot, you must act first and sort later. So your sweet spot is discovered through active contemplation, not passive reflection. Active contemplation. I act, I observe, I process, I look for patterns, and then I apply what I learn next time. Not passive reflection where you sit around and you dream and you wish and you think about how wonderful it would be to be something, right? I know a lot of people, frankly, as a writer, as somebody who's written 4, now almost 5 books, published books, I know a lot of people who want to write books, and their idea of what a writer is very different from what it actually is to write books. You know, writing a book is a grueling, sort of very long arc, consistent process that feels like drudgery often sometimes because you're just pushing through all of the stuff, trying to find patterns. And there are moments of inspiration, there's sparks of joy in the midst of that, but a lot of times it's just pushing through and just making it happen. But the idea for a lot of people, what a writer is somebody who sits around waiting to be inspired, and then they just, you know, they're enraptured with an idea and they just, in a moment of ecstasy, crank out 5,000 words. That's not really the way it works for any of us who have been doing this. I know many of you probably also write consistently, professionally. That's not what it is, but that's often what people think of. And so when they think, oh, I would love to write, well, they love the idea of writing, but they don't necessarily love the process of writing. They don't necessarily want to commit themselves to the often very redundant and drudgery-laden work that is to write. Okay, so this is what active contemplation is. It's doing the work, paying attention, looking for patterns, and then applying that learning to the future. Some people think that their sweet spot should be obvious, and as a result, they waste a lot of time trying to find their passion or figure out their optimal career path before diving in. Instead, great contributors begin by adding value wherever they can and then spend time sorting the results later. Okay, so in other words, look for ways to add value in your life, in your career. Try to find ways of adding value and then figure out, okay, where was I effective in adding value and where maybe was I not so effective? What are some things maybe I should try to avoid? One practice that I describe in Louder Than Words is what I call the notables. It's designed to help you identify the times in your work when you truly shine or when you have a unique response to something in your environment that could point to an opportunity to set yourself apart. So for example, you can ask yourself, here are a couple of questions to ask yourself. What problems seem to obsess me more than others and why? Are there any problems that just stick in your head, things that you're obsessed with, things that you want to try to solve? Why? Why do you think that's the case? What does that say about you and the area where maybe you should be focusing more of your focus and time and energy? Okay. What fills you with anger and compels you to act? Are there moments in your life or in your work where you just feel compelled to act because you're angry that something is the way it is and you think that shouldn't be that way? right? Somebody should do something about that. Yeah, that somebody is probably you. That speaks to something about how you're wired, okay? And then what do other people seem to come to you for instead of going to someone else? Is there something that you just seem to be naturally good at that other people can't seem to figure out or can't seem to do? And so people come to you for that thing. What is that? Okay, what do others seem to come to you for instead of going to someone else? These are all clues. Now, none of these are going to provide you with the absolute answer, but these are all clues that point you. They're notable. That's why I call them the notables. Clues that point you in the direction of your sweet spot, the place where you're wired for maximum effectiveness. Okay, again, your sweet spot is something that you navigate toward, and it's also about what you bring to the work more so than it is about the job or the work itself. All right. So secondly, number one, find your sweet spot. You must act first and sort later. Secondly, your sweet spot is not always something you enjoy. And I touched on this a little bit earlier. Many people think that once they discern their sweet spot, work is going to be perpetual bliss. There's this saying that, you know, if you discover work you love, you will never work a day in your life. And that is crap. It is so untrue. I love the work that I do. I love the value I get to contribute. And often my job feels like work, even though I have a lot of flexibility to structure my days the way that I want because of the way I've structured my company. But even with that, you know, a lot of days I just have to crank through things, and that's the reality, you know. But here's the thing: when you discover work that you love, you realize that there's something worth suffering on behalf of. That's the important gasp. You know, I know many prolific writers, again, to go back to the writer thing, who don't enjoy the process of writing. There are many great entrepreneurs who find building a team a bit of a grind, but they also recognize that they're uniquely capable of adding value through these activities, and they're more in love with the results than they are with their temporary comfort. So the word passion, and we've talked about this on the show, the word passion is tossed around as something necessary for great work. But the root of the word passion means to suffer. That's the root form of passion. To suffer. So when you're passionate about something, it means that you're willing, if necessary, to suffer a bit on behalf of it because you care so deeply. Great contributors have discovered a productive passion or an outcome they're committed to that fuels and animates their best work. Here are a few questions that you can ask as a starting point to help you begin to identify that. Number one, what outcome am I truly committed to that transcends my desire for comfort? What is something, an outcome I am trying to bend my life around that's more important to me than my temporary comfort? Okay. Number two, what have I been avoiding because I dislike it, but I know it's a place where I'm really effective? Is there any activity that you're shying away from because it's uncomfortable for you, because you don't like it, because you don't want to do it, but you know you're really effective there? Okay. Is there anything like that? Maybe that's something you need to explore more. You need to bring yourself to that area and add value. Go into that place of discomfort and see what you learn. And then number three, what outcome am I committed to and how can I structure more of my activity around it? So your job isn't just about your job. Your job provides income so that you can support your family. Your job provides income so that you can give to others. You can be generous, right? Your job provides an opportunity to build into the lives of other people around you that you collaborate with. Even if you're not a leader, you can build into the people you collaborate with. What outcomes are important to you, and how can you structure more of your activity around that? Again, we discover our sweet spot by acting and then contemplating, acting and contemplating, active contemplation. That's what we're aiming for. All right. So the first principle, again, find your sweet spot, act first, sort later. Second principle, your sweet spot is not always something you enjoy. The third principle, finding your sweet spot is not necessary, which is why many people never do it. So here's the truth. You can be very productive for your entire career and never identify your sweet spot. And we all know people like that, right? You might even become celebrated for your work. However, the most gratified and ultimately successful people I know are those who have a strong sense of self, and they've engaged in at least some attempt over time to shape their work so it reflects their unique abilities. Now, by the way, this is an important distinction. When I talk about your work, I'm not just talking about your job. Your body of work transcends your job. Some people go to work and they work a drill press every single day and they crank through it, and they're not going to work thinking, boy, I have really discovered, you know, the love of my life with regard to my work. No, they go to work, they work a drill press, they crank through it because their family is the biggest part of their body of work, and they want to create opportunity for the people they love to be able to pursue the work that they want to do, right? Or to be able to create an environment for that family to have the resources necessary for them to have some space and some margin to be able to really enjoy life together. Your sweet spot and your productive passion may or may not be fully contained, well, won't be fully contained, but may or may not be largely contained by your job. Again, I talked about last week, you can't look to your job to contain the sum total of your creative engagement. You can't look to your job to contain the sum total of your body of work either. Your body of work transcends your job. Your job is one part of it. It's a part of your portfolio. So listen, over time, the most contributive and productive people shape their work so that they're bringing more of their unique attributes to it. Others can't do this for you. However, this also involves taking strategic risks and making bold decisions with your work. So I encourage you to consider a couple of things. Number one, are you just playing it safe and drifting from opportunity to opportunity? Are you just bouncing from thing to thing without thinking strategically about where you're going? You cannot build a productive body of work by running away from discomfort. You can't do it. You can't. And number two, what are the potential traps in your career path that could lead to years of misalignment? So, you know, maybe you fall into a promotion and it pays you a little more and you get really comfortable with it, and you fall into another promotion and it pays you a little more and you get comfortable with it, but you're not really strategically navigating. You're just kind of taking whatever opportunity is in front of you. And this is where a lot of people get trapped, and then they wake up 15 years later and they say, wait a minute, this isn't at all what I should be doing. It's not at all the area where I'm most effective. I just did it because it was in front of me. Okay, so be strategic. Understand what you want, understand what you're doing, and navigate according to what you know about yourself, what you observe about yourself. Your unique contribution is guided by your organization, and it's guided by the marketplace. It's needed by both. So take the time to consider your unique productive passion, your unique skills, your unique experiences, and leverage them to navigate to your sweet spot. We need you to be you. Not someone else, right? We need you to actively contemplate and navigate to your sweet spot of effectiveness. Hey, would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there or at accidentalcreative.com. Also, jump on the mailing list at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe and get regular updates and new thoughts. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.